Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in to Winning Cures Everything, February 26th. I am Christopher Giannini, your host today. Rolling solo once again. Gary's other job has pulled him away. And he's doing the work that pays most of the bills. And so you get stuck with me once again. Just Chris again, Taylor. I appreciate it. I appreciate the love. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's just me again. And because it's just me, we got a football heavy question. And some of the things are basically going to center in around me because I'm a little bit of a sociopath. Don't know if you know that or not. Everything has to do with me. I always try to bring it back to me. That's okay. So let's get into it, guys. Let's get into it. First, go to winningcureseverything.com. That's our website. You can find us every week at SBR.com or SBR picks on YouTube. I believe that's what it is. SBR/NCAA. That's where our college football coverage is. Man, I have already started off with a disastrous beginning. Let's see if we can round this thing out and actually talk about some things that I'm interested in and I care about and I love. We got Trouble in Paradise still. Two of the best quarterbacks in the entire league, Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, both met with ownership, met with the GM, met with coaches. I'm guessing, I don't really know who was in these meetings, but both of them this week met with their teams and both left pissed off. Man, like, you can't smooth it over. You can't find a way. Listen, send a bottle of wine, send some roses. Listen, they should call me as a consultant, not necessarily to put the teams together, which I do think I'd be a very good GM, by the way, but how to apologize, how to say I'm sorry, how to try to mend these fences. Listen, screwed up a lot of stuff in my life, okay? And I'm really good at saying I'm sorry, all right? That's what these owners, that's what these coaches, that's what these GMs need to do. They need to apologize. You don't want to lose these guys unless you can get a king's ransom for them. Everybody does have a price. I think some of these teams out there in the ethos would be willing to pay those high prices. Casey jumps in, says, what's up, fam? Appreciate you, Casey. So, I find this really strange. The Deshaun Watson thing has been going on for a long time, right? Like, we all know Watson wants out. I get that. I really have no idea who's... The problem is I think there are teams that could make offers that I think are better than others. And being a disciple of Bill Belichick, you don't really care where you're sending the player to if you're going to trade them. You just want to get the best deal for you. But obviously, these owners and GMs throughout the league don't think that way. They don't believe that. And so they're always trying to find a marriage between we want the best deal, but we also want to send him to a place we might not have to play. And, I mean, they sent Hopkins for a second-round pick. That's insane. That's asinine. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. That's literally giving a guy away 10 cents on the dollar. And so what do I think these guys will do? Now, that was Billy O. And I don't know that this new regime is going to run things that way. Maybe they can get the best deal and don't care. I don't know. You see Watson's loyalty tweet. I did not. What did he tweet about? Oh, I'm sure he's just talking about how loyalty matters to him. Maybe. I don't know. I want to address one thing though, with the Houston Texans situation. Okay. I should know this guy's name. We've joked about him forever, but the new GM that was just hired in, the problem is this guy is the former team chaplain. Okay. He's the morality coach or assistant. I don't really know his title. It's something to do with morality. He's basically the team chaplain, all right, for the Patriots for a long time. He likes football. He knows a lot about football. He's been around football operations for a while. Somehow he talked his way into a job. And everybody crushes him, and Watson wants nothing to do with him. And I understand that, being the star of the team, not wanting to be ran by a guy who's never done this job before. Makes sense to me. But there's a little part that hurts, because how do we know this guy's not going to be good at his job just because he's never done it before? Listen, there are guys out here in the league that have been doing it for decades that are still really bad at it. Okay. Just because you've done this thing for a long time doesn't make you any good. Matt Millen ran the Lions for a decade. Why? Because he was friends with the owner. He wasn't good at his job. He just got to keep his job for a long time. So is there a chance that this guy's going to be good at his job? We just need to let him do it? Maybe. He's got a tough job because they got no cap as of they stand right now, and they got no draft picks as they stand right now. So, you know, he's coming into a fight with his hands tied behind his back, but, you know, maybe he's got a mean headbutt and a headbutt and a strong chin. You know, I think we're killing this guy too badly. And at some point in time, I think his best bet is to move Watson, get the most you can get for him, the biggest haul you can, and then try. Then we'll get to see, are you a good GM or are you not? You now have some assets to play with. You have a lot of salary cap freed up. Let's see what kind of GM you are. Let's see what kind of personnel man you are. And let him stand on his own merit. But right now he's inheriting this sinking ship. And man, just shooting fireworks off on a sinking ship just isn't going to help. Worst thing you're going to do is catch the damn thing on fire and make it worse. But, I mean, you can't really make it a whole lot worse because it's already pretty bad. So I feel for that guy. I'll try to jump in the comments. You guys know I'm really bad at this. The Dolphins could be a Super Bowl contender if Watson. Maybe. That's right. The Dolphins are playing really well, and Watson, I believe, is a top 2, 3, 4 quarterback in the league. You know, it's bad when Watson is willing to take even fine given to him. Yeah, no, I think he's kind of digging his heels into a point where he's going to skip games. I might be wrong on that. That's just reading the room. But at the same time, once you start hitting guys in the pockets, maybe those things don't wash out the way you would think they would. I want to get to the Russell Wilson side of this, okay? I understand a little bit of Russ's problems. I don't like their offense that much either, but I also love the pieces there. And if they can just get the coordinator to, like, I can't believe in these meetings the coordinators are basically telling them, we're not going to let you throw more. We're not. Like, what would you have to do to come out of that meeting angry? You got DK, all right? You got one of the best receivers in the league. We got a pretty good run game. We'll get some offensive linemen. We'll spend our cap and we'll spend our draft capital and our money on building the O-line. Cleveland has shown that they went from the worst offensive line in 2019 to the best offensive line in 2020. They've shown that you can do that with a flip of a switch by just going out and spending a lot of money on guys, okay? So build your offensive line. Like, is there anything they can do? And we'll throw the ball more. We'll get a more modern offense. Are they just openly telling him? Because I can't think of what they would say in this meeting that would make him storm out angry, stormed out, pissed off. Like, if they told him, no, we're not gonna throw the ball more. We're gonna keep running it. We don't give a damn what you think, and we're not gonna invest any more in the offensive line. Like, that's about the only thing I could think of that they would say to him that would piss him off to make him storm out of a meeting. But obviously, I would assume, even if you're not going to be able to do all those things, you at least tell the guy you're working on them. You at least tell the guy you'll think about it. You'll start looking at game planning for the future and looking at plays that he wants to run. I can't understand what's happening in these meetings to make these guys storm out angry. Watson, I get it. He's passing no return with these people, and he didn't want there anymore. He didn't want to be there anymore. Russell, this is a fight that started 5 minutes ago. You should be able to end this fight pretty quickly. Casey over here says, I think wifey wants to move. Yeah, maybe she wants out of Seattle. I've heard that. But what happens if she lands in a place that's a lot worse than Seattle? Like, you know, there's a bunch of places in the country that aren't as nice as Seattle. So, you know, he could end up in a worse spot, maybe in a better football situation. But I don't know, man. I think Seattle's been a pretty good football team. He needs to understand it's not his God-given right to win 10 games a year. Okay? There's a lot of franchises out in the league that don't win 10 games every year. Okay? And, you know, if the wife wants to go to a bigger, better place, let's say they land in Pittsburgh. All right? So you're in a great football town and you're on a great football team. But that ain't a great – so that's better than – it's not better than Seattle. It's not a better city than Seattle to live in. So, you know, what do you want? You want to end up with the Jets? Does she want to go? She want to go to New York? Like, that's where Shakira probably wants to go, right? That's probably where she – Sierra? Yeah. I'm not really good with the wives' names. I know the only one that matters, and that's okay. But yeah, like, does she want to go to New York? Would you rather play for the Jets? You're used to winning 10 games a year. You kidding me right now? You've won a Super Bowl. You've been to another Super Bowl. You're satisfied with that being your career? Now, supposedly he listed out a list of teams that he wanted to play for. He wanted to play Cowboys. He'd go there. Cowboys, a hell of a city. Chicago, he'd go there. Chicago's a hell of a city. Like, he listed off a bunch of names. He seems to, I think the Saints were on the list. He seems to be picking cities or teams, not necessarily cities, teams that all have an elite wide receiver, because I think he sees the value of DK. The problem is like, I love Allen Robinson. I love Allen Robinson. We don't know that Allen Robinson is staying in Chicago. Even if Watson comes, that man has been burned and pissed off at that front office. So if they can put together a package to get Wilson, I don't know. I think I said Watson, Wilson. I don't know that Allen wants to stay there anymore. So now Russell's going to be trying to find a wide receiver. If he ends up in Dallas, man, that would be a lot of fun, and that offense is ready to roll. He would be able to run an offense, and I can't say I would hate watching it, okay? I think it would be a lot of excitement and really good football. I'm just curious as to how it actually plays out. What happens with that team? I don't know their cap situation. Russ already makes a shitload of money. So are they going to be able to fit him in? What pieces do they have to cut to make him work? I don't know the answer to any of that. You know, the Saints don't have any money. Okay. They are about as cash strapped as anyone in the league. I think they would have a really hard time finding a way to financially put it together and have a package put it together. Because they don't have any good draft picks. I mean, Seattle, you don't want to lose Russell for the 22nd pick in the league, or the 25th, or whatever the Saints are going to get. It's not going to be great. So that's one I just can't understand how they haven't been able to mend that relationship, unless Russell has just made up his mind, I want out, and I'm just going to start causing a fit until I get out. I think that's a little strange. It's his prerogative. I don't say he doesn't have the right to do it. But I don't know, man. That team that won the Super Bowl, they won it with the Legion of Boom. You know, Russell made great plays. Russell's a great quarterback. But Russell didn't win that Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl they lost, you know, that offense took a while to get going. And right when people always say, well, if they just would have ran the ball, they would have won it. Yeah, but it took another – I say another because it's the third one that happened to the Patriots. It took a miracle catch that if you throw it 100 other times, it doesn't get caught. Pull the horseshoe firmly supplanted in your ass out to be able to get to the point where they could just run it in, but instead he threw the pick. that offense wasn't clicking and wasn't looking like, I mean, they literally had to have everything go their way to on that in the fourth quarter to try to get close to coming back and winning that game. Okay. And then they made the mistake at the end. That's fine. I just don't think that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But it doesn't matter where Watson ends up. As long as it's not with the Jets, the grass is greener. Even if it is the Jets, the grass is greener. I think the Jets' offensive line's better. I think the Jets' skill players are probably better. And I have no idea how to gauge the Jets' defense because they're always playing from behind constantly. That just makes it really hard to figure anything out that way. So we'll get off of that. We'll stay on the Houston thing just for a tip.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hang on. Somebody said, let me get into the questions before I move on to the next thing. It says, do you see any merit in the talks that he wants to be a bigger market? Oh, for Wilson? I mean, yeah, but yes, he obviously wants. I think he wants a bigger city. I think that's a lot of the wife and maybe some of him. We live in a world where Cam Newton played in Carolina and Cam Newton was a star. Cam Newton had big time sponsorships. You can grow your personal brand, your individual brand from anywhere in the country now. I just believe that. Baker Mayfield commercials, case in point, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield plays on the Cleveland Browns, okay? Cleveland and Cincinnati have to be the two most boring, run-of-the-mill, like, bleh, cities in the NFL, okay? Detroit's bad. Detroit's kind of right there with them, but, Detroit's, I don't know. They got a little more history as a city than Cleveland and than Cincinnati do. Okay. Baker's on every television, on every commercial. He, just over and over again, ad nauseum. So to say I need to be in a bigger city, that's a want, but Seattle's a pretty big damn city. It's a nice city. I don't know anything about Seattle over the last 2-3 years. All right. I think a lot of crazy shit has happened over the last couple of years in Seattle. Maybe they want away from that, want to get a little bit more to the middle of the country. Hey, Taylor, come on. I'm not crapping on Cincinnati. I'm just talking about compared to Dallas, compared to Houston, compared to Chicago. Come on. I love Cincinnati. I love Cleveland. Hell, I will stand on a soapbox and tell you I love the city of Cleveland. Not just for sports teams. I spend my time in downtown Cleveland. I love Cleveland. It ain't Chicago. It's not Houston. It's not Dallas. All right. It's just not. It's not crapping on them. We're just trying to put these things all into parameters here. Okay. So anyway, we'll get off that. Stay on the Houston Texans for a little bit. I found this interesting. Today they cut Duke Johnson. Now it frees up $5 million of cap space. They need to save some money somewhere so they can try to go out and sign some folks. I think this is a good cut. Man, Duke looked like one of those running backs coming out of Miami that I thought was going to be real good. Okay. And I thought he was going to be, a ball catcher, a guy that put him into space, and he was going to be dangerous, and he was going to be electric, and he kind of was that a little bit in Cleveland, but not enough to make him valuable. So they traded him away, and they kind of didn't get a lot for him, and they were okay with that. And now he just gets outright released to save $5 million to cap. I think Duke's good enough. He'll get picked up somewhere. But he's a third string guy, you know. He'll make whatever roster he gets to, I believe, if he's in shape. I mean, that's up to him. But I think if he stays in as good a shape as he can be, he'll make a roster. He'll get playing time, and he'll have meaningful snaps for teams. But it'll be third downs. It'll be spots here and there when they need to, you know, rest a guy or whatever. But I just found that really, really strange. Casey, let's get to some of these. Seattle is unfortunately now a shithole. McKinnon, amazing tourist destination, but a cesspool. I can't speak to that. I don't know that. I'm sure there are parts of it that absolutely are. Casey says, I would love to see Russ in Chicago. I would love to see Russ in Chicago as well, but I'm going to need Allen Robinson to stick around. Because I don't know that Russ is the kind of quarterback that can make chicken salad out of chicken shit. I just don't think he can do it. I think he needs weapons. And if they lose Robinson, he's going to have his, you know, pick of what, like three rookie tight ends or second, third year tight ends. That's it. Okay. I'm a Memphis guy. I'd love to see Anthony Miller kind of grow into being a real legit receiver. Yet to be seen. He's going into year four. I think, you know, if he was going to be something, he would have been something already. So, you know, neither here nor there. They got to keep Robinson. Right now, Robinson's pretty pissed off. You know, a nice, you know, Tiffany tennis bracelet would go a long way in Russell Wilson to make Allen Robinson happy. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things I think would help with that. We'll move on. Into some other news. We got a couple of opt-outs coming back. And this is because it's my show today. Mr. Gary is off. We're going to make this about me. My Patriots are getting a lot of guys back without spending one bit of their cap and without a single draft pick. They are getting back Dont'a Hightower, who is the creme de la creme of this list. Okay. Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon. And all of them have said in game shape, ready to play. The year off helped so much on their body, feel, you know, in healthier than they've ever been, ready to go into an off-season workout program to get into legit game shape and ready to hit the ground running. I cannot wait. Dont'a Hightower is one of the best linebackers in NFL history because he's a Patriot. And because it has been a Tom and team concept forever, he doesn't get the love that he deserves. But this guy is up there as with the – I'm going to piss some people off here, but I don't care. He's up there with the Brian Urlachers and the Ray Lewises of the best linebackers of my era, of my generation of watching football, okay? He's not Lauren Thomas. All right, he's not the greatest linebacker to ever play. But this guy is a monster. He is an absolute monster. He's been wrecking offensive lines for a long time. I think he's got a couple of years left in him. I think the time off last year actually was the best thing that could have happened to the Patriots. I think they are ready to roll. I think the offensive lineman coming back and Marcus is going to help bolster that offensive line. Patrick Chung helps shore up that secondary. Chung getting long in the tooth, man, real long in the tooth. But, brother, when you need somebody to lower the boom and make a play, Chung has been there time and time and time again. I cannot wait to see this defense all back together. Now they don't have to spend draft capital on these positions. See there? This is how this works. The opt-outs leave. They come back the next year. The team's going to look completely different. We got to hit on a quarterback. We just have to hit on a quarterback. Nothing you can do about it. If Cam Newton is the quarterback next year, the Patriots will be a failure, and an unmitigated failure. I love Bill. I believe in Josh. I do not think that you can win with Cam Newton. I don't think he has the physical attributes to play 16 games anymore. He just can't make the throws. He's still a hell of a runner. He's still strong as maybe ever. It's the miles. Okay. You can only run that car into the wall so many times. And I just don't know that he can do it. Gotta hit on the quarterback. I don't know what they're going to do with that, by the way. I wouldn't mind them making the move for Russell or Watson. I don't think either one of those guys want to go to New England. I wouldn't either, by the way, based on the assets around them. But if they could find a way to get a quarterback without spending a draft pick on a quarterback, that means they can spend draft capital on skill players. I think the skill players coming out in this draft are going to be pretty amazing. I'm excited about that. Look for your team all around the league. I'm sure we'll start seeing other people who opted out last year. A few big name guys, not a lot of big name people opted out, but for the Patriots, those three absolutely did. And those three absolutely hurt. A lot of others did too. I'm curious to see who all comes back and who all doesn't.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Casey says, the Patriots need to get Fitzmagic. I would love. Let's spend all our draft capital on wide receivers and sure enough the defense. And let's go with the running backs we got, and let's get Fitzmagic out there, and let's make something happen, Captain. I would be all about that. That's exactly what I want. Lastly, we'll end this on this. I need a little people's court. I need a little people's court. I need your opinion on something. I am in a petty pissing argument with some people that I do a Dynasty Fantasy League with. And I love these guys. Okay, well, two of them I'm close to. Two of them I know. The rest of the guys are friends of theirs. Okay, some of them I've met. Some of them I know. I try not to stir the pot too much. I stirred the pot a little bit today, okay? We don't ever talk Dynasty football here. I don't have a lot of news that I'm going to get into today. Gary's not here to help carry the show. So this is what you're going to get, guys. This is what you're going to get. I'm not worried about any of them being upset or offended by me bringing this up because frankly, I don't have any friends that watch this show. So they'll never see it. It doesn't matter. But here we go. I'm in a dynasty league. We all made a commitment to 3 years in the league. We just finished our 3 years. And then after the year three happens, they are talking about crazy, crazily changing a lot of rules. And the argument for changing most of these rules is all about fairness. because they don't want they basically don't want people to it's not collude, tank, because it's dynasty. You know, if you get started in the season, you're trying to win, and all of a sudden, you know, you lose the first three games, and all of a sudden, well, probably not gonna make the playoffs. One guy's got an injury. Let's tank. Let's sell a few guys off to get a couple of good picks. Let's try not to win any more games. So we got to fill a roster every week, non-negotiable. But we still gotta, you're not starting your best quarterback. You're not starting your best running back. You know, you don't have to. You just make sure you fill the roster and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. They want to legalize that out by installing something called max points, which means basically the computer, the website would take your best potential points. Okay. So if I started Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback because I wanted to tank, all right, and I benched, you know, Russell Wilson per se. Russell gets 40 points, Jimmy gets 12 points. Towards my standing in the draft order, I would get credit for the 20 something, for the 40 something points. And therefore, even though I've lost all these games starting Jimmy Garoppolo, they would account me as wins. So I get to take the loss in the league, and I'm still drafting sixth instead of first. Okay. I think that's insane. All right. I think that's ridiculous. First things first, I'm very competitive in all these leagues that I'm in. If I'm in a fantasy league and I'm going to put money towards it, I'm going to try. I want to win it. If somebody wants to put their $100 in or whatever the league fee is, and then say I'm cashing in this league, I don't care. I'm more than happy. I hope half the league wants to do that shit. Okay? Please put dead money into the pot. Guys that are pissed off at that are just babies. They're just babies. All right? So here's the only argument the guy's given me for why he thinks this is the fairest way to do it. Okay? And I think this is total bullshit, by the way. He says that, well, let's use the example of I'm tanking and he's not tanking. Okay? He's trying to win. And I played a guy that he's in competition with. You know, I had to play him, and let's say my quarterback was Joe Burrow. All right. I love Joe. Joe's my guy. Joe averaged like 4 or 5 touchdowns a game last year. Pretty good fantasy quarterback. So let's say Joe Burrow, I started Joe when I played him early in the year. Okay. And I beat him. But then I rolled off a couple losses. Joe blows his ACL. That happens. You know, and the next thing you know, I'm losing. So now I'm going to tank because I want a bad draft pick for next year. And then I play the guy he's in competition with for that last wild card spot, that last playoff spot. And now I'm not trying to win. And he says, well, that's just not fair. My problem with his that's not fair problem is there's 1,000 variables that go into every season. Thousands of variables, maybe tens of thousands of variables that go into every season of fantasy football to determine who makes the playoffs, who doesn't, and where everybody is seated and how everybody lines up. One guy trying to win at the beginning of the season and not trying to win at the end of the season is not the end-all be-all. Now, that one game, now you might lose and miss the playoffs by one game, and you say, well, point to that. Well, or we could point to one of the other 5 losses that you had, okay, where both teams were trying and you just started the wrong running back, or your receiver, who was your number one overall pick, didn't do very well and, you know, caught no balls, had a bad game, something of that nature. Can we point to any of that things? No, it has to be the one guy tanking screwed it all up for you. See, we love to point fingers at someone. We always want someone to blame for stuff. Okay, it's just like all the Giants fans out there that were blaming the Eagles for tanking in the last game of the season against the Washington football team. Yeah, shut your damn mouth, okay? If you didn't want them to tank and cost you a playoff spot, then you should have won more than 4 games, okay? I can't help you. You want to win 4 games and think you deserve a playoff spot? No, kiss my ass. I'm not doing that. Am I like... So basically, I've made my mind up on who I am, all right, on this. my stance, so to speak. I'm giving you all the information. These guys are pretty nice about it. I was pretty nice about saying I think that's a bad rule. They dug their heels in and talked about how they want to change. And I argued back that you're wanting to change things because you're bored, because we actually don't even have the problem with tanking in our dynasty league. Nobody's ever tanked before. So you're trying to create a rule, totally change the landscape of how our season will play out. I'm sure half the people do not care about this, but if you do, you just hear me yell about something. We're creating a solution for a problem that does not exist here. It exists in other leagues that we hear about on the interwebs. Okay. But it doesn't exist with us, but we're still going to change all our rules to make sure we can stop this one thing from happening. What they don't realize is, A, that doesn't stop people from tanking. And B, because they could just trade away players for draft assets then. And then they have to start the worst players, but that's the only people they've got on the roster, and they got a shitload of picks. All you do is penalize people who are trying to win and then actually just making mistakes. You know, if I've got a coin flip between do I start, you know, DK over AJ Brown? I'm lucky enough. I've got both of them. And you know, I've only got a spot for one for whatever reason your ruling is. One goes off, the other one does nothing. It's tough shit. Well, now I'm penalized because they're going to put in the ranking side of how the team did. They're going to say, well, you move down in the draft order because you should have started AJ. But I didn't. I wasn't trying to lose. I just lost. I want to be rewarded. If I have to lose, I want to be rewarded for losing. Okay. I've been in leagues where people were the number one scoring team in the league and they won like two or three games. And they got beat by everybody because everybody they played that week was the highest scoring team and they were the second highest. In that world, that person would get the worst draft pick there is to get by the rules that they want to go by. But yet they finished dead last. That's just the dumbest system in the world. So here's my question. The people's court, the judgment that I need you to make, because I actually care. Sadly, I actually care about what you people think of me. Am I like reasonable asshole or like completely unreasonable old man, get off my lawn, changing rules in fantasy leagues is fun and it makes the game more interesting every year? Because my thing is I don't like change just for the hell of changing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's not mess with it. We got into the league under all these rules. Now you want to change the rules and you expect me to stay in the league, but it's a different league. It's just got the same people in it. I don't understand that. Anyway, all right. So let me go some of the comments. I shouldn't have done this. I meant to do this with Gary here because then he could read the comments, but now I have to read the comments and this is going to be pretty embarrassing. So let's see. We'll get start on Taylor. We'll start with Taylor. Taking your side on this one, taking strategy is potential. Yeah, look, because I'll tell you this. If I ever find myself 2 years in a row finishing sixth, seventh, fifth in that no man's land world, I'm out. I obviously can't win it, so I'm gonna fall. Because when you're stuck in no man's land, you're never – this rule, by the way, will do nothing but keep everybody in no man's land who's in there, and guys will flip-flop from the top to the bottom all day long. That's it. They'll go from really good to really bad to really good to really bad. And everybody in no man's land will just stay there forever. I think it's way too complicated. That's my other thing. It is complicated. It makes it really bad. It bothers me. Okay, it bothers me. I appreciate the fact that so two for two right now, people think it's really complicated. Don't make it too hard. Andrew's saying every year, don't take it every year, but they decide a couple of games, not a huge deal. So I don't see, this is where I disagree, Andrew. I don't care if you tank every year. I don't give a damn how you run your team. As long as you're not colluding with someone else, it does not matter to me. Thank you. Thank you for the free money. That is, you are now I have to compete with 11 people instead of 12. Well, I'm one of the 12 and 11. So I have to compete with 10 people instead of 11 to get this big pie. So I appreciate that. Andrew also says who you start and bench is a huge part of fantasy football. You can't take that away. I agree. Basically what this does is this rewards people for building bad teams, not making bad decisions. Okay. So if you built a bad team, that in that scenario where a guy, you know, finished with the number one scoring points in the league, but finished 1-12 because of what they said was just bad luck. If you were to do that, then you're rewarding teams that did well, but still have bad players. And I think you shouldn't reward people for who built bad teams. I think you should reward people who perform poorly. But anyway, Casey, nothing wrong with tanking in my book. See, I'm just not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. I see the value of it. But once again, I don't think it's the end all be all that if you play me in week three and you beat me because you're trying, and then something happens in your team or your life or whatever, and now you're no longer trying, and somebody else gets to roll off a bunch of wins against you. These other teams get easy wins, and I had to fight like hell to play you. That's just the way it goes sometimes, man. And once again, I had Joe Burrow on a bunch of teams, and I was kicking ass. And then as soon as Joey goes down, well, I don't draft backup quarterbacks, and so I'm waiver wiring it. I'm scraping it. I'm using Cam freaking Newton half the time. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And I'm just getting my brains beat in. Well, was it fair to the people that played me earlier when I had Joe and I was winning all those games? That's not fair. I don't think you should legislate fairness. Make rules that make sense. That's all I want. And let's all of the rules and let's start this thing. But if we're going to change it just because people are bored. Now one guy proposed a changing of a rule where once you get into the playoffs, we have six teams make the playoffs, half the league. Six teams make the playoffs. The top three teams, instead of doing it by seeds, the top three teams get to call out. They get to pick who they want to play, starting seed one, seed two, and then seed three has to play whoever's left. So if there's a guy where you think, oh, he might be the four seed, but his team's really shitty and he had a bunch of injuries, if I'm the one seed, I actually want to play him first. You get to call folks out. I don't even care about that. Like, that doesn't matter. Once you're in the playoffs, at some point in time, all you got to beat each other. Right. So then who plays who win doesn't bother me. But in a dynasty league, the draft is a huge part of building your team and going forward building. So anyway, I feel like I'm an old man. I feel like, I'm getting more angry than I should about this, but I think it's not about the fantasy football. Okay. I'm getting angry because I'm dealing with people who I believe to be reasonable people. And I think they're being unreasonable. I think their arguments are bad and they don't see their arguments are bad. They don't see that they see a guy going 1-12, but having the best scores, the highest scores in the league is bad luck, but they don't think it's bad luck to play a guy who's trying in week one and then somebody else got to play him in week 7, 8, and 9 and they weren't trying. They don't see that as just bad luck. They don't see that. They think that is conspiratorial and needs to be legislated out of the game when it's never happened in our league before. It's just something that you've heard of people tanking, but I don't even see anything wrong with tanking. So it's not that I've got a two-front problem as you're creating a solution for a problem that does not exist. And you say, well, I'm trying to prevent the problem. I actually don't have a problem with the thing you're trying to prevent. So I think both ways your rule is dumb. And then Andrew pointed out, it's also complicated. It is complicated. And if it's simpler than what I just described, then they did a really bad job of trying to explain to me how it works. Okay. And understand, I'm gorilla brain, Neanderthal. You got to talk to me like I'm dumb a little, all right? That's okay. I'm okay with that. I don't get offended by it. If I don't get it, some of that's on you. But anyway, neither here nor there. I'm rambling now. It's the end of the show. I've talked for well over 30 minutes. Half of it has been about complete nonsense and stuff that 99% of the people wanting to listen to this show could care less about. And I apologize with all that I have in me. Hopefully Gary will be back Monday because I cannot do this without him. I feel like a moron half the time. But anyway, thank you guys for jumping in. Man, you have no idea what it means that some of you guys show up every time we do a show. Every time that light comes on, man, y'all are there. You're jumping in. You're commenting. You're a part of this thing. I wish I was better at making you a part of the show as Gary is. But know that I appreciate it. I really, really do. Anybody listening on the podcast, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the downloads. They mean a lot to Gary and I. It's growing, and we appreciate it. I hate for the days when you get a show like this. You know, we found a fan. We found people that like listening to our content, and you got a Friday show, and you go to download it, and you realize it's just a bumbling idiot. Man, I know that sucks. That happens to me when I download this podcast. But thank you for jumping in with us. Everybody have a good weekend. Everybody have a safe weekend wherever the hell you are in this world. Do something nice for somebody else. Make the world a better place sometime. And we will be back Monday. And I am hoping with all that I have in me that my partner is here. Have a good weekend, guys. Thank you. Thank you again.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.